The title to my sermon today is, You Are a Conqueror Through Jesus Christ. And I like that we sang that song, I'm a Conqueror, Victorious, you know, because that goes right along with my sermon here. And it wasn't pre-planned or nothing, so the Lord knew. He always does. And the first verse I'm going to share with you today is 1633, and it's out of the Amplified Bible. And it says this, I love this. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. You know, the world out there is trying to find peace. They're trying to find it in a lot of things. They're trying to put their confidence in a lot of things. And guess what? Those things are failing them continuously. And, you know, there's only one thing that can ever bring true, perfect peace into your life is Jesus Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. And, you know, you can try to have confidence in your bank accounts, in your jobs, in a lot of things, but you know what? Those things can fail you. But thank God, like that sign up there says, Jesus never fails. And he never fails you, and he's always there. Praise God. I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations. You know, I think we've all been there. We visit that place probably a few times a month. Sometimes almost every day, once in a while. But you know what? I like that there's a semicolon after that, and it says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain, undaunted. And I love this, for I have overcome the world. And then this is the most important part here that this verse says, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Praise God. I love that portion of scripture there, because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. You know, we used to sing a song, I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning with Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places with him, with him. For the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. The kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. And when we claim that on a daily basis, I'm going to tell you what, things have to start lining up. Things have to start straightening up. Because when we claim God's word, what his word declares, then he said he'd honor his word above his name. And we know that the name of Jesus is the most powerful name that was ever proclaimed, because he is the Savior of the world. Praise God. John 17, 1 through 13. I like this scripture, and I'm reading it to you out of the Amplified Bible. I'm getting an Amplified Bible a little bit today here, because it puts it in such a good way here. It said, when Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and exalt and magnify you. Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And you know how many he's given? All of us. Everything. Because scripture in the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you know, it says he came unto his own, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to come into this, being the sons of God. And you know what? And it says they were born not of will of flesh nor will of man, but of God. And I got news for you, folks. When you were born again, you were born into that kingdom. You were born into that priestly authority as far as your relationship with God. And you also were born into that kingly authority. You know, when somebody's a prince, sometimes they're put under a lot of tutors and governors until the time appointed of their father, who is the king. And we've been put under a lot of tutors and governors, and those tutors and governors sometimes they discipline a little bit. And they let us learn hard lessons once in a while. And, you know, the hard lessons are the ones that actually cause you to grow the most. You know, Brother Eddie used to talk about being, you know, I remember him talking about people being a boxer. Well, you know, boxers not only have to work out in the gym and hit the heavy bag and hit the speed bag and all that, they got to get in the ring and get hit too. And what happens is they get toughened up after a while. They can take a punch. And if you can't take a punch, if you're a boxer, you ain't going to last very long. Well, you get knocked out mighty quick. You know, a lot of people used to look at that Mike Tyson, you know, and I always liked boxing. And we used to box a lot in the backyard when I was a kid. And, you know, we'd beat up on each other a little bit and stuff. And matter of fact, when I was down at Margaret's one time, and I was boxing with this guy that went to school with Albert, and I knocked him through Margaret's kitchen window. I was afraid her mom wouldn't let me come back no more after that because we were boxing in the yard. But you know what? If you don't learn to take a punch, you ain't going to last very long. And you know, a lot of times when we're in the fight, so to speak, we're in the fight of the battle's already been won by the Lord, but we have to experience those victories. And sometimes those victories are, we don't use physical means. We don't use physical beating people up. But I tell you what, we can sure beat them up with the Word of God. We can pray for those that despitefully use us. And in so doing, we'll heap coals of fire on their head. Coals of fire is not to burn them up. Coals of fire is to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in their life. You know, some of the greatest prayers that anybody ever makes sometimes is when they pray for somebody who's mistreated them. You know, for years and years, I worked in a shop, and I've told you this before. I worked in a shop, and the guy who ended up being my boss after the first boss passed away, he knew how to push my buttons, and he pushed them. And I used to pray a lot, and I'd say, "Oh, God, change Bill, change Bill, change Bill." That was his name. He never did change Bill, but he changed me. And you know what? Sometimes God puts those bills in your life just to let you know that you need to trust him in the midst of tribulation and in the midst of trouble. Because if you don't trust him in all situations and all circumstances, you're not going to walk as a victorious, and you're not going to be a conqueror. You're going to tend to fall. But the neat thing about God is that when you fall, he don't stand over you and say, "Shame on you for falling." He reaches his hand down and gets a hold of you and pulls you back up. And I thank God for that. And so many times, if we'd only understand it, nothing happens. There's no temptation or no trial that comes your way that God didn't know it was going to happen way before it ever came to pass. And you know what? He knew exactly whether you would succeed or you would fail in it. But you know, there is no failures in God, because your failures are just learning processes. You know, I like science, and I've told you that before, and a lot of people think science is contrary to God, but it's really not. It just proves God more and more all the time if you really understand what's going on. But, you know, if people like Edison and some of those people like that, if the first time that he tried to create a light bulb and it failed, it'd be dark in this room right there today. But they kept trying and kept trying until they found the answer and found out what worked. Same with everything in life. You have to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And if you don't press on, then what begins to happen is you begin to fall by the wayside. But thank God that even when that happens, He's promised that that you'll be saved anyway. But you might not attain unto everything that He wanted you to attain unto in that particular situation. It says, when Jesus had said these things, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify and exalt and honor and magnify You. Just as You have granted Him power and authority over all flesh, all mankind, now glorify Him so that He may give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. Now, if He gives eternal life to all that He has given us, given to the Lord, then you know what? He gave Him everything. So I know a lot of people don't think there's going to be eternal life to a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't agree with that. And this is eternal life. And it literally means this. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, to come, become acquainted with, to understand You, the only true and real God, and likewise to know Him, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom You have sent. I have glorified You down here on earth by completing the work that You gave me to do. This is Jesus talking. And now, Father, glorify Me along with Yourself and restore Me to such majesty and honor in Your presence as I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name. I have revealed Your very self, Your real self, to people whom You have given Me out of the world. They are Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed and kept Your word. Now at last, they know and understand that all You have given Me belongs to You. It's really and truly Yours. For the uttered words that You gave Me to give them, they have received and accepted them, and have come to know positively, I don't have false teeth, but it sounds like I do, and in reality. And you know, I love that it says in reality. You know, a lot of times, a lot of the things that we see in this world, that's not reality. They're temporary. Reality, these reality programs that we see on television, half of the time, those things are staged, folks. I hate to tell you that. They're not all real. Some of them might be, but a lot of the stuff, I'm sure, is very staged. You think they're going to stick somebody out in the jungle with lions and tigers and bears and poisonous snakes and not be ready to step in if one of them things comes after them? Well, they'd be sued so bad. But you'd think that it's for real. And it might be sort of real, but it's not really real. And it says, they have come to know positively and reality, to believe with absolute assurance that I came from Your presence, and they have believed, and you are convinced that you did send Me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying or requesting for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they belong to You. All things that You are, Mine is Yours, and all things that are Yours belong to Me. And I am glorified in and through them. They have done Me honor in them. My glory is achieved. And you know, the word declares that He'd not give His glory to another, and I've shared that scripture with many times. But you're not another. You were born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You're as much a part of Him as when Jesus walked the earth as His hand was. You're part of the body of Christ. That's why you're called a body of Christ. And we a lot of times have to begin to quit separating ourselves from Him, or believing that we don't really move and have our being in Him, because we do. We live and move and have our being in Him. And we have to begin to truly believe that, and to walk with that assurance that He's got it all under control. And to believe with absolute assurance that I came from Your presence, and they believe that You are convinced that You did send me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying and requesting for the world, but for those of You You have given me, for they belong to You. All things are mine, are Yours, and all things that are Yours are mine, belong to Me. And I am glorified through them, and they have done Me honor. In them My glory is achieved. And now I am no more in the world, but these are still in the world. And I am coming to You, Holy Father. Keep in Your name, in the knowledge of Yourself, those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are one. While I was with them, I kept and preserved them in Your name, in the knowledge and the worship of You. Those You have given Me, I have guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost except the son of perdition. It says Judas Iscariot, who is now doomed to destruction and destined to be lost, and the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I'm coming to You. I say these things while I'm still in the world, that My joy may be made full and complete, perfect in them, that they may experience My delight fulfilled in them, and that they may enjoy enjoyment be perfect in their own souls, that they have My gladness within them filling their hearts. And you know, I love that, because in 1980, the Lord gave me a poem about gladness. I've shared it with you before, but I'm going to stick it in here because He mentioned My gladness within them. And the poem went like this, and I hadn't even looked at an Amplified Bible back then. I didn't even have one. I have placed My gladness within your heart. I have placed My gladness to give you a new start, to bring you to a greater knowledge of Me, to fill you with My Spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, My gladness will remain and My joy will abide. When those about you would grumble and complain, if you will but praise Me, My joy will reign. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. And you know, God has promised that out of our innermost being would flow rivers of living water. And that living water is going to begin to quench the thirst of mankind out there. Mankind tries to quench his thirst with alcohol, with drugs, with a lot of different things. And you know what? It never works. Because as soon as they get a little fix of it, they got to go try to get more of it, more of it, more of it. And it never really satisfies totally. But when the water of life begins to flow out of you and touch somebody's life, just like Jesus said, told the woman at the well, He said, "Woman, the water that I'll give you will be a well springing up and basically into eternal life. You won't have to come and draw from this well anymore." And He really wasn't talking about that well sitting right there. He was talking about the well that was in her life. And she told Him, she says, "You know, our father said we should worship in the mountains, and you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem." And He told her, He said, "Woman, the hour is now, and now has come, when they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And you know, she went, and after her encounter with Him, He started telling her about all the different husbands she had and everything. And she didn't know what to say. You know, He told her to go and call her husband. And she said, "Well, the man I'm with now, he isn't my husband." And he said, I know you've had a bunch of husbands. I don't remember the number. I think it was 7 or something like that. But, you know, you've had a bunch of husbands. But he said, you know, basically, you know, what I want to give you is eternal life. And she went into the town after she had had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and she started saying, come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. And you know what? Sometimes God will cause you to even tell people everything that they've done, you know, or they'll think that you're telling them everything they've done. You know, I've told you this story before. One of the old-time prophets, when he was young, God was using him to prophesy, and I think he was just a boy at that time, but God was using him very mightily to prophesy to people. And they had this big meeting, and people were coming, you know, because they wanted to see this guy who was prophesying to everybody and all this stuff. And when he got up and started prophesying, he was hitting it so close that they said some of the men were hiding under the piano. You can't hide from God. But you know what? He doesn't give you a word to try to embarrass you. He gives you a word to begin to build you up. And sometimes you got to get tore down before you can get built up. My next scripture here is Hebrews 8:10-13. And this is just in the King James. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And we were talking about this back in Sunday school. The name Israel, literally, the definition for that word is he will rule as God. And when he begins to rule as God in your life, then you become a part of the spiritual Israel. And you know, there's a scripture that says, they're not all Israel which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. And you know, Isaac was a son of promise, and we have to realize that we're part of that son of promise, because God knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew the exact moment that you were going to come to him. He knew all the things you were going to do and all the things you weren't going to do. He knew how many people would be sitting here today listening to this message. But he also knew how many would hear it on the internet. And I don't know. There might be 10 hear it on the internet, or there might be 10,000. I don't know. But God knows. And his word never returns void. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And that means he shall rule as God. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. How many is that? That's all. That's everybody. His word declares everyone is going to know him, from the least to the greatest. For I will have mercy on their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And in that, he saith, a new covenant I have made, and the old covenant, now that which is decaying and waxing old is ready to vanish away. And you know, the new covenant is that I'll remember their sins and their iniquities no more. And you know, my goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, a few weeks ago, I shared a sermon with you. And, you know, I think I'm probably going to close with this sermon, a little bit of this sermon. But the crux of the sermon was this. There was three things that God wants you to do. Three things. And I don't really like to put numbers on things that God wants you to do, because you can have 14 steps, 19 steps, and it can get to be a bunch of steps after a while. But this is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And here's what he tells you to do. Rejoice evermore. Now, it's not always easy to rejoice when things aren't going good. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a scripture that says the joy of the Lord is what? That's my strength. And unless we let the joy of the Lord begin to bubble up inside of us, even when things aren't going good or whatever, we're not going to have that strength. We're not going to have the ability sometimes to get through the thing we need to get through. He says, rejoice evermore. That's number one. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You go around crawling on your knees praying with your hands together? No. Have an attitude of prayer. Have an attitude of, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do today. I praise you. I give you all glory. I give you all honor. Let me know what you'd have me do today. Pray without ceasing, number two. And number three is this, in everything. How means everything? That's everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to fulfill the word of God? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Have an attitude of prayer, no matter where you're at. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A lot of people say, oh, Lord, I want to know your will. I just told you what it is. He's not willing that any should perish. Guess what? One of the first deep scriptures that the Lord ever gave me when I first got saved was in Ephesians, where it said, and I was reading it, and it says, he works all things. How many's all things? It's all things. After the counsel of his own will. Now, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, his will is going to be done. And he does work all things after the counsel of his own will. So what's he telling us to do? In everything, give thanks. And if you want to do the will of God, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's three simple things. It's not a lot. He's not saying that you have to go out and evangelize everybody. He's not saying you have to go to another country. He's not saying any of those things. What he's saying, have a joy in your heart. Begin to rejoice. Rejoice when you don't feel like rejoicing. You know, Pharrell used to sing this song. He'd beat on his chest and sing, be happy. You know, it's just... And, you know, happiness is something that you do. It's not always something that you are. As you do it, you become it. You know, there's a scripture that says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Now, if the word declares that happy is the man whose God is the Lord, then what do you need to do? You need to get happy. You need to start being happy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying that I do all this every day. I need this word as bad as you do. But that's the thing about the way God gives you the word. He gives you the word that you need to hear. And he wants you to be happy. But happiness is not possessing things, not owning things. Happiness is an attitude. An attitude in God will establish your altitude, how far you raise up in him. You know, that the title to this sermon was, you are a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And if you're a conqueror, start acting like a conqueror. Start believing you're a conqueror. Start walking with an assurance that you know that you're a conqueror. Even if you fail, you're still a conqueror, not because of what you did, but because of what he did. He won a surpassing victory for you. And you have to walk in the victory that he achieved for you. You know, us Americans sometimes... we're a little bit arrogant in the sense that we don't really understand the cost that people paid for us to live in this country you know, even the military. We just went through, what was Veterans Day. And the cost that it cost for us to be free and be able to worship God basically almost anywhere we want and any way we want, you know. You go over into some countries and you start trying to worship Jesus Christ, and if it's in the wrong country, they will execute you. They will kill you. And you know what? We just don't understand sometimes how blessed we are. That we can worship God, that we can say praise the Lord anytime we want to. And I got news for you. We need to say it a little more than we do. And we need to say it some places where they don't want us to say it once in a while. Because we need to exalt him every chance that we get. But that's all I had to share with you today. And I want you to know that, you know, the kingdom of God is not something that's coming in the future. It's something that's in you right now. And it does. Scripture says it doesn't come with observation. Jesus told him that. He said, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. You aren't going to look out the window someday and say, oh, bless God, the kingdom of God's here today. No, the kingdom of God is going to come gradually in his people. And when they realize it and they begin to acknowledge it on a daily basis, that the kingdom of God is within them and that he's not a God that's afar off, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's all of those things. And we begin to acknowledge that more and more and more. We're going to find out that we're going to walk with an authority and a power. And I believe sometimes even start doing the works that he did and greater works than them. And that won't be greater because we're greater than him. It'll be greater because there's so many more of us than there was of one of him. You know? One man, Jesus Christ, came, and when he came, you know how he knew when it was time for his ministry to start drawing to a close on this earthly thing? They came to him and they said, the Greeks are coming saying, we would see Jesus. The Greeks were nowhere near Jerusalem. They were out in another country. But his authority and his works and all that had traveled that far to where it wasn't like they jumped on the airplane and was there 10 minutes. They had to get on boats, and it might have took weeks to get there or whatever. I don't know how long it takes to get from Greece to get to Jerusalem, but I imagine it takes a while back in that day. And you know what? He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. He knew it was time because they were seeking him. And you know, they're still seeking him. They're still saying, we would see Jesus. And I tell you what, they're going to see him in me and you. And as they see him in us, then they'll begin to believe. You know, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. And he said, and he basically said, and then the world will believe. When they see the body of Christ stand up in oneness, then they're going to start believing, because you know what? Mighty works are going to begin to happen. Things will happen that will astound people. And, you know, anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. God bless you all. I appreciate your faithfulness. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you that this word, as it went forth today, that, Father, we learn to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing constantly, and also know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all things. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And, Lord, as we do the things that you say that concern us, then the greater things will begin to happen. I ask you to just bless your people as they go forth this week. Let the joy of the Lord spring up in their hearts. Let that oil of gladness rise in their hearts, Father. And just, we know you were anointed with the oil of gladness above your fellows. But I ask you to let that oil flow down over our lives too, Father, that we can have that joy. And it even says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And praise God, because your joy was so full in him. Let it be full in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.